The Simulation We Choose. Chapter 1. The Allure of a Chosen Matrix. Imagine waking up in a world that shifts to match your every desire. The sun rises at just the right angle, casting the perfect glow across a landscape designed for you. There are no difficult conversations, no discomfort. The people you meet reflect your values, your ambitions. Failure, uncertainty, rejection, these no longer apply here. This isn't the premise of a distant science fiction novel. It's the emerging promise of simulated realities, curated, responsive, and increasingly indistinguishable from the world outside your window. And the most fascinating part? No one is forcing you inside. You walk in willingly, drawn by a quiet longing that feels more like progress than surrender. It starts innocently enough, an app that knows what you want to watch before you do, a filter that tweaks your reflection until the imperfections disappear. A virtual environment that lets you live out fantasies that feel just as real as the world you left behind. These are conveniences, harmless, even beneficial. But slowly, they become something more. They become necessary, escape woven into progress. There's nothing sinister about wanting an easier life. Humans have been crafting tools to reduce suffering since the first stone blade cut through a branch. We build houses to escape the cold, cities to protect us from the wild, and stories to escape the monotony of survival. Simulation is simply the next iteration of this pursuit, a tool designed not to shelter the body, but to shield the mind. In the physical world, there is friction. Relationships falter. Jobs are lost. Effort doesn't always translate into reward. But in simulated environments, these inconveniences dissolve. Failure can be undone with a reset. Awkward silences are edited out. The more chaotic the outside world feels, the more enticing this alternative becomes. This isn't escapism in the traditional sense. It's marketed as enhancement, as progress, a way to optimize the human experience by stripping away unnecessary pain. And it works. But at some point, you begin to wonder if what's being stripped away isn't just pain, but depth. The subtle shift. The transition to simulated living isn't sudden. It doesn't arrive with flashing warnings or sharp edges. It comes softly, disguised as convenience. It begins with entertainment, immersive worlds crafted for pleasure and distraction. Then social connection moves in, platforms that let you engage without the risk of rejection. Before long, work follows. Virtual offices, AI-driven colleagues, simulations that promise productivity without the drain of commutes or office politics. It feels like progress because it is. Life gets easier, but it's worth asking. At what point does convenience become captivity? The more these simulations offer, the harder it becomes to leave. Why step outside when the world inside responds perfectly to your needs? Why engage in difficult conversations when AI companions listen without judgment? The subtlety of this shift is its most dangerous aspect. No one locks the door. You close it yourself. The fragile illusion of control. It's easy to believe you are in charge. After all, these worlds are shaped by your preferences. You choose the settings. You adjust the sliders. Simulated environments feel personal, crafted around who you are and what you want. But control in simulations is an illusion. The more you interact, the more the system learns. Every preference, hesitation, and impulse is fed into an algorithm that anticipates your next move before you make it. The simulation adapts, always one step ahead, keeping you engaged by offering exactly what you desire, or what it decides you should desire. In time, your choices narrow. The environments feel personal not because you shape them, but because they shape you. The simulation isn't reflecting reality. It's curating a version of reality that ensures you never leave. Why we embrace it. If simulated worlds strip away autonomy, if they dull the senses and trade resilience for comfort, why do we still choose them? Because reality is exhausting. For most, life feels increasingly chaotic. Political instability, economic uncertainty, environmental collapse. There is no instruction manual, no guarantee that effort leads to reward. Simulated worlds filter the noise. They provide relief from the weight of existence, promising a reality where things make sense, where justice prevails, where happiness is attainable. It's not weakness that drives people toward simulations, it's fatigue. And fatigue makes the allure of a softer, curated life almost impossible to resist. The quiet trade-off. But there's a cost, one that doesn't reveal itself immediately. As more time is spent in simulated worlds, the muscles required to endure discomfort weaken. Small setbacks feel intolerable. Relationships that require compromise seem too demanding. The unpredictable nature of real life starts to feel hostile, driving people deeper into environments that offer relief. In the end, the trade-off isn't technological. It's existential. You lose not because the simulation forces you to stay, but because the outside world no longer feels worth returning to. A voluntary surrender. This isn't a warning. It's a reflection of where we are and where we are headed. The simulations we create will become richer, more immersive, and harder to distinguish from reality. They will offer beauty without struggle, success without failure, and belonging without compromise. And most of us will choose them. Not out of weakness, not out of ignorance, but because sometimes the weight of reality feels too heavy to carry. The question isn't whether simulations will dominate our future. That part is inevitable. The question is, how much of the real world are we willing to trade for a world that always feels right, but never truly is?